going to say welcome to our worship service tonight. As always, we trust that your being here is an indication of your desire to worship God in spirit and in truth. And if that's your purpose, then I hope that our time can be well spent tonight. Clark, I told you to wait till I told you, but go ahead and pass those sheets out to get somebody to help you. I think I printed about three times what I needed, but there's enough for everybody to take one. If you don't want to take notes, take it home with you and study it. We've done this before, and we're going to do it again tonight. Lord willing, we'll probably do it again sometime, but this fits right in with our lesson tonight. Don't forget our Wednesday night service, your next scheduled service, and we want you to come back and be with us then. Tonight we are looking at our fourth lesson under the heading of the Spirit's seven-point plan for unity. Thus far, we have seen, of course, we've stated from the very beginning that God's plan for unity is the only plan that will work. This came out of our study on Wednesday night of the dying request of Jesus and how that he suggested and showed us that we needed to be of the same mind, or rather we be united, to be as one. And then Paul said we're to be of the same mind and the same judgment, no divisions, speak the same thing. And we are going to look at this subject tonight, but we've already discussed there is one body. Of course, the body is the Church of Christ, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, Colossians 1, 18. The one Spirit is the Holy Spirit, a member of the Godhead. We studied the one hope of your calling, the hope of eternal life. And there simply is no other lesser thing that can be correctly designated as the one hope. And so tonight, we're looking at the next to the last one of these, the sixth one, and that is the one baptism. And so tonight, we're going to do what we've done in the past. I told David, I said, I know we've done this several times in the past, in classes and even from a sermon, but I don't know any better way to teach what baptism is than to do this. And so what we're doing is, as we have done in the past, we are asking you tonight to forget everything that you have ever heard or ever knew about the subject of baptism. As far as this moment, at least as far as you are going to act like, at least you don't know a thing about baptism. You don't know what it is, but you want to know. There are many conflicting doctrines taught on the subject of baptism. And for this lesson, as I said, I want you to forget everything you know or have ever been taught on the subject. Then I want us to go through the New Testament and look for this word. All I ask is that you be honest with yourself, honest enough to accept whatever the Bible says on this subject, because it's vital important. So open your Bibles and read with me tonight as we look at these. And I've probably got these where I'm going to put them up a little faster than I might ordinarily, so that if you do want to take notes, you can get them. So I'm just going to go ahead and put up what we're fixing to read about. First one is in Matthew chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible said, then went out to him. Him happens to be in the context, John the Baptist. Then went out to him, Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So what do we learn? And I don't want you to put down things that you don't get out of this verse. Here in this verse, we learn that many people went out to John. Many were baptized by John, and they were baptized in Jordan. At this point, we don't know what Jordan is. Is that a person's name? Is that a country? What is that? At this point, we don't know. So we're going to be looking to see if we can find that out as we go along. Next one is in Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it behooveth us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and in the heaven, and the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I started to say, Hear ye him, but that's in the on the Mount of Transfiguration. So what do we learn from this passage? All right, we learn that Jesus came to Jordan to be baptized. We saw in the preceding verse that many were going out to be baptized of John. Now the Bible says Jesus came to be baptized of John. And when Jesus was baptized, notice it said he came up out of the water. So that immediately tells me that the element of baptism is water. It's not in this passage. It's not Holy Spirit. It's not anything except what it mentions. And it said he came up out of the water. We're going to learn later more about this, but at this point, we know that he came up out of the water. And so the element of baptism is water. And also Jesus said, first of all, John didn't want to baptize him because he said, you're coming to me to be baptized. I ought to be coming to you. And he said, suffer it, permit it, allow it. Because he said, we are fulfilling all commandments. We're fulfilling all righteousness. And in Psalm 119 and verse 172, and you might write that in there, but that statement. But in that, in Psalms 119 and verse 172, the psalmist said, all God's commandments are righteousness. So when Jesus said he was fulfilling all righteousness, if God's commandments are righteousness, then he was fulfilling a command of God. All right, the next one we want to look at is found in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And you can be turning in your Bibles because I'm going to be doing the same thing, even though I could quote a lot of these. I'm not going to. Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. All right, what do we learn in this passage? Well, first of all, baptism is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Some of the translations say, but in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, simply mean by their authority. And it also tells us that baptism, or shows us that baptism is for those who are taught, because he said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. So the teaching comes first. And so what does that eliminate? Well, that eliminates, first of all, somebody can't be taught. Now, that could be a person that is mentally deficient. Not making fun of anybody. We know that there are some folks that are mentally deficient because of birth defects or accidents or whatever the cause. But if someone cannot be taught, cannot understand, then he's never a fit subject for baptism. Neither are those infants who have not reached the age of maturity so that they can understand what's being taught. And so this eliminates the mentally impaired, and it also eliminates kids too young to be taught. And isn't there one of them, not one of, the major denomination in the world that practices baptism at age eight? I mean, 8 days? Is it 8 days? 8 days? You think you could teach a baby at 8 days old what he had to know in order to be baptized? I don't. Next, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And he says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. What do we learn? Well, baptism is connected in this passage with repentance. He preached the baptism of repentance. So don't explain a lot about it, but the baptism is connected with repentance. It also says that it was the baptism of repentance for, and when you see the word for, this word in the New Testament, it means in order to. So it was for, or in order to receive, remission of sins. And then notice, it said they were baptized in the river of Jordan. Well, and that tells us now what we learned earlier, that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, and we understand now, because we saw then that he was in water, and so we can understand now what that Jordan meant earlier. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. This is just a repeat of what we've already looked at. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. But notice that Jesus went into and came up out of the water on this occasion in the river of Jordan. Mark 16 and verse 16. And again, like I said, I know most of you could quote this one. But let's turn it, and I want us to read it. I don't want to be any doubt in anybody's mind what we're doing. Mark 16, verse 16. He that believeth, and this is Jesus doing the talking. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Here we see that baptism is connected to faith and to salvation. He that believeth, that's faith, and is baptized shall be saved, salvation. But baptism comes before being saved. Now, I happen to know, you're not supposed to know anything, we're looking in the Bible to find it out, but I happen to know that a lot of people teach today, the majority, I think, of religious people today, teach that baptism has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. They've denied this verse. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And a question, according to Jesus, not talking about according to Paul Wilmoth, not talking about according to David Hill, but according to Jesus, who did he say would be saved? If you can read that, it says the one that's going to be saved is the one that believes and is baptized. Now, we're going to find out that as we study the New Testament, that's not the only requirements, but they are required. And in this case, believeth includes the other requirements up to baptism. But we don't even have to know that at this point. But he said the one that is going to be saved is the one that believes and is baptized. Luke 3 and verse 3. Luke 3 and verse 3. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I just wanted us to look at that one, because baptism again here is taught that it is for the remission of sins. Now let's go to the book of John. John chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. And And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. So what do we learn from this passage of Scripture? We learn that Jesus himself baptized. Now, one of the other writers states that Jesus baptized, and basically the way it stated it, it's basically saying that he didn't baptize with his own hands, but he baptized through his disciples. But this passage said he baptized. There was also much water there. John baptized where there was much water. We've already discovered that the element of baptism is water. And now we find that there is much water required. Or at least much water is present where John was baptizing. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later. Now turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John, this is still John the Baptizer, John the Baptist. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I put this in because a lot of people today teach that we have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Is that what he's saying here? Well, let's see. He says, first of all, that John baptized with water, but some were to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But notice he said, not many days hence. What does that mean? Not long from here, from this time I'm telling you. And if you'll notice, if you have your Bibles open, I'm not going to read all this, but you can do this when you go home. If you'll notice who he's talking to, you know who he's telling is going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Notice in verse 2, he gave commandments, the last part of the verse, he given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Verse 3, to whom also, that's the apostles. Then it said, being seen of them apostles. And verse 4 says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart. Who's all these pronouns referring back to? Every single one of them referred back to the apostles in verse 2. And then he said, John baptized with water, but ye who? The apostles, shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And so John baptized with water, but someone, and in this case the pronouns will show you who he's talking about, the apostles that would be baptized with water, or rather with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Now, I don't have time. That's a whole another sermon, but Acts 2 is the fulfillment of that. And even the first four verses will show you that. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, in this case, them are the ones that he's preaching to, the Jews, that he had accused of taking with wicked hands, crucifying and slaying the Lord of glory. He had eventually got down to telling them that this same Jesus whom you crucified had been made both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So what do we learn? We learn that baptism is connected again with repentance. Repent and be baptized. And most of the time, maybe all the time, I guess all the time, when you see two things connected like this and that, they're of equal importance. Sometimes people think that the Church of Christ believes in water salvation. No, we believe that baptism is the final step, but we don't believe that anybody that can be baptized hadn't repented do him any good at all. And so baptism is connected with repentance. Baptism is by the authority of Christ. That's what "in the name of" means. Baptism is for the remission of sins. We've already seen that, but here it's stated plainly. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. What for? For the remission of sins. And yes, we teach baptism for the remission of sins, but repentance and baptism combined is for the remission of sins. So if you hadn't repented of your sins, you could be baptized 40 times, I suppose, and it wouldn't do you any good. It's baptism plus repentance, and by the way, we've also learned in an earlier verse, faith required, didn't we? So all of those being required. And so notice also from this verse, not Paul's teaching now, from this verse, repentance and baptism both come before sins are remitted. Now let that sink in. Repentance and baptism both come prior to, before your sins are remitted. Somebody says, what does that mean? That means before your sins are removed, or you get forgiveness of sins. Now then, another question. According to Peter, and by the way, when you look at Peter's statement here, that wasn't just Peter speaking, because the Bible tells us earlier in that chapter that those apostles were speaking as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So when I say according to Peter, that is as the Spirit gave them utterance, then who will receive remission of sins? Is it the one that believes? Passage, by the way, didn't even mention faith. I'm not suggesting faith is not vitally important. It is. But this verse didn't even mention faith. Is it the one that repents and stops? Is it the one that's baptized only? No, it's he that repents and is baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 2:41. We could spend all night on a bunch of these verses. I'm going to try to get through all of them here. Acts 2 and verse 41. Then being after Peter had answered their question in verse 38, and then continued to preach and warn them to save themselves from this untoward or crooked generation, then it said, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So what do we learn? Baptism is connected with gladly receiving the word. Then those that gladly received the word were baptized. And remember, baptism is for those who are taught. We've already talked about Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so baptism is for those who gladly receive the word and thus are taught. Acts chapter 8. I want us to look at verse 5, and then we're going to read verse 12 in connection with this. But first in Acts chapter 8, verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What did he preach when he preached Christ unto them? Well, the Bible gives us some insight into that in verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So what do we learn? Preaching Christ includes baptism. If it doesn't, then the whole story don't make any sense. He went down to Samaria and he preached Christ to them. That's just like, I believe I told you this in a lesson last week, that when Paul said, I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. If you want to know what preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified includes and means, then you need to read all the writings of Paul and see what he preached. And so when it said he preached Christ to them, then it even adds some things included in that. Said it was things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And when they heard those things, they were baptized, both men and women. So preaching Christ must include baptism, because after they heard Paul preaching Christ, or heard Philip preaching Christ here, they were baptized. And notice for the first time, it mentions that both men and women were baptized. So that immediately tells you that baptism is not from one sex and not the other one. Because now, even though it may have been implied when it said all Judea came out, but this is the first time it specifically said that both men and women were being baptized. Acts 8, verses 35 through 40. Then Philip opened his mouth. This is when he joined himself to the chariot and was invited up to speak to the eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I wonder if preaching Jesus and preaching Christ would be the same thing. I believe it would, don't you? Philip preached Christ, and Philip here preached Jesus. I believe it's the same thing. And as they went on their way, as Philip preaching Christ, preaching Jesus to him, they came to a certain water. We've already learned the element of baptism is water. And they said, the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea. Now we learn that when Jesus is preached, people want to be baptized. The Bible didn't say a thing in the world about he began the same scripture and preached unto him baptism. But if he preached Jesus to him and then he wanted to be baptized, then I believe that is implied. And when I say implied, it has to be there that preaching Jesus included or caused people to want to be baptized. Notice also, faith was required before baptism. Didn't we already see, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved"? And he went on so far, said, "He that believeth not will be damned." So faith is required before baptism. Does that mean it's more important than baptism? No, that means that's the first thing required of you. Of course, after you hear the gospel, you must have faith. But faith was required before baptism. And he said, "What hinders me? What keeps me from being baptized?" And what did he say? "If thou believest, thou mayest." And what did he say? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Confession of faith in Jesus also comes before baptism. Then notice both of them. Now, that's been indicated before, but it's never been said. Both of them went down into the water and came up out of the water. Now, obviously, when Jesus was baptized, John must have been in the water too, but it doesn't tell us specifically. I'm saying we just want to learn specifically as we go along. Both went down into the water and came up out of the water. And then notice rejoicing followed baptism. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip that the eunuch saw him no more. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Question: if one is saved before baptism, as some people teach today, then why does rejoicing come after baptism? I don't see if we're saved at the point of faith, if we're saved at the point of repentance, or if we're saved at the point of confession, I believe the rejoicing would take place after whichever point it is that we're saved, don't you? Why would you be rejoicing after you've done something that, according to most people today, is not necessary? And yet it said that he went on his way rejoicing. I turn to Acts 10, verses 47 and 48. And again, I'm trying to give you some context because we don't have time to deal with these scriptures like I'd love to. We'd probably be here a week if we did. But Peter's at the household of Cornelius, the first Gentile, that according to best we know that was preached the gospel to. And as he preached, there were certain things happened. The Holy Ghost fell on them. And verse 47 When that happened, Peter said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Again, we notice that baptism is in water. Who can forbid water that these should be baptized? He didn't say who can forbid the Holy Ghost. Who can forbid water that these should be baptized? Notice also baptism is commanded. He didn't say that Cornelius and them just, they could do it if they wanted to. If they didn't want to, that's okay too. It said Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of, and what does that mean? By the authority of the Lord. Baptism is commanded. Question, can you and I, can anyone be saved and refuse to obey a commandment of the Lord that applies to us? Acts 16, beginning with verse 30. And brought them out. This is the jailer now. Paul and Silas was in jail and in prison. And you remember the earthquake and the doors were open and all that that led up to this. Verse 30, and brought them out and said, this is after the jailer saw, he was going to kill himself. He saw that Paul said, don't do that. We're all here. Because he knew if he'd let the prisoners escape, that was a death sentence. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. A lot of people rejoiced there. I said, that's what I've been trying to tell you all the time. But they quit reading too quick. They stopped reading. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Baptism, or baptized after being taught. Why do you think that he said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved? Then spake unto him the word of the Lord. Well, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, doesn't it? Our pew packers quoted it tonight. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That jailer didn't have no idea if he believed in Christ or not until he heard the message of Christ. You go out on the street and you run somebody that never read the Bible in his life and you say, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He don't know whether he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ or not. And so baptism was after being taught the word of God. Baptized also the same hour of the night. If baptism is not necessary, why the urgency? Why not wait at least until morning? But he took them and washed their stripes and was baptized. Even though this passage does not specifically say repentance was involved, washing the stripes indicates it, does it not? They had put the stripes on them, now they're dressing them and taking care of them. And by the way, when did it say this jailer believed? Last verse I read. And when he had brought them into his house, this is after he's washed their stripes, this is after he's been baptized. He brings them into his house and set meat before them and rejoiced. Rejoicing, as in the eunuch's case, came after baptism. Rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. You've heard David, Malcolm, this goes back to Malcolm, and I'm sure many other preachers too, but I've heard Malcolm say from this pulpit that the best definition of faith is taking God at his word. And until you take God at his word, you don't really believe in God. Now, if I can point out this same thing, if it's me or you, if I can point out things tonight that the Bible teaches that you and I are supposed to be doing, we're not doing, and we don't believe in God. At that point, we don't. Because taking God at his word means that whatever he tells us to do, we'll do. Didn't we learn this morning? I think that's in our lesson, wasn't it? Jesus is our master. He's our Lord. I know we did last week in my lesson. And so, why the urgency? All right, Acts 19, verses 1 through 5. And I put this in because some people sometimes have questions about this. In the last part of verse 18, chapter 18, we learn that a preacher by the name of Apollos was preaching, but he was off in his preaching a little bit because he said all he knew was the baptism of John. And Aquila, and Priscilla took him aside and taught him more perfectly the way of the Lord. Now, following that, we have this report. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" They said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." You know what that did? That threw up a big red flag. Because Acts 2:38, I don't think I even mentioned it a while ago, but he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And they said, "We don't even know whether there is a Holy Ghost or not." Then said Paul, "John," and he said unto them, verse 3, and he said unto them, "Unto what then were you baptized? If you don't know about being a Holy Ghost, why, under what were you baptized?" They said, "Unto John's baptism." And then he said, Paul, "John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance," we've already seen that, "saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Well, that wouldn't be valid now that Christ had already come and lived and died and rose and gone back to heaven and the gospel had been ushered in, then that wasn't valid anymore. It wasn't the baptism and teaching those that were baptized to believe on Jesus when he come. He'd already come. And so it said when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of, by the authority of, our Lord Jesus. I'm not going to get through. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. All right, very quickly. Some were baptized again, but it was because their baptism was not valid the first time. So really, it's not proper to say you're baptized again because you wouldn't really baptize correctly the first time. And that's because John's baptism was no longer valid. Question, would I hesitate to be baptized correctly if we learned that we'd been baptized incorrectly, not scripturally the first time? Acts 22:16, we're going to have to move. Acts 22:16, "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." One should not tarry when his salvation is at stake. Now, Paul had been praying. A lot of people, they say, pray through for salvation. Paul had been praying for several days, and he didn't put it this way, but he's basically saying, what are you wasting your time for? Why are you tarrying? What are you waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Notice sins are washed away in baptism. Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. I wasn't watching my time too well, David. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And his answer, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Baptism puts one into Jesus Christ. Therefore, he said, "Know ye not that as many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ?" Notice also the death of Christ is connected with baptism. Those that are baptized into Jesus Christ are also, he said, baptized into his death. And when we see that it's also a burial, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now we can say, that last statement I've got on there, now we know why John was baptizing where there was much water. If Franklin was baptism, all he'd had to have was a cup of water. He was baptized where there was much water because baptism is a burial. And we also learn why Jesus and why the eunuch and the preacher with him, for that matter, went into and came up out of the water, because it is a burial. Question: can one be saved out of Christ? Ephesians 1:3 says all spiritual blessings are in Christ. What do we contact in the death of Christ? Well, John 19:33 and 34 said he shed his blood in his death. He was dead already, and they stuck a spear in his side, and there came out blood and water. At what point does one begin his new life in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17 said if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. When you're baptized into Christ, then you become a new creature. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in he who loved me and gave himself for me. At what point is one made free from sin? Romans 6:17 and 18. God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made perfect, you became the author of eternal, anyway, it says you've been then made free from sin, became the servants of righteousness. I'm getting too fast, David, and getting it all mixed up. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. All are baptized into one body. What is that one body? We studied that first lesson in this series. That body is the church, and thus all are baptized into one church. If it's not, that's not true. It don't make any sense. If you were baptized to get into some denominational body, some denominational church, then you were not scripturally baptized. All right, Galatians 3:27. If back up to verse 26, for we are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of us as have been baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized, or have put on Christ. We are baptized again into Jesus Christ. And according to Scripture, baptism is the only way that you can get into Christ. And notice he said, we put on Christ. What does that mean? Well, before I came over here tonight, I put on this coat. You know what I got when I put on this coat? I got the benefits of this coat. Right now, it's making me hot. But you get the benefits when you put on. And so when we put on Christ, when do we do that? In baptism, and we receive the benefits. Ephesians 1:3 of being in Christ. And then Colossians 2 and verse 12 tells us again, buried with him by baptism into death. We're buried with him by baptism, as Romans 6 and verse 4 also stated. And it says, wherein ye are risen with him through the faith and the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Baptism then is not only a burial. We've already seen that. Actually, I didn't mention it, but Romans 6:4 also showed that it's a resurrection. And remember Romans 6:4 that we just mentioned. Franklin doesn't fit that. Franklin does not fit this requirement. Therefore, sprinkling is not spiritual baptism. And this is the last one. It's not the last of my lesson by any means, but this is the last verse we was looking at. Peter said, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Question: what does always save? I believe he said baptism, didn't he? Who is saved by baptism? Us. I'm talking about what Peter said now. And when? Now. The like figure, whereunto even baptism, doth also now save us. Let's review what we've learned, and then the lesson will be yours. I'm just going to use the screen, because that way I won't want to stay, make it any longer. Baptism is a burial in water for the remission of sins. It requires going down into and coming up out of the water. Thus, much water is required. All the verses there are the ones we've looked at. Baptism puts us in contact with the death of Christ. We're baptized into his death. Well, that's where he shed his blood. We're going to talk about that in another lesson more. And baptism is into the name, or in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Also, baptism is commanded. We saw that several times. It's for the remission of sins. It washes away sins. It saves when it's coupled with faith, he that believeth and is baptized. It saves us now. That's the last verse we looked at. And it's the final step that puts one into Christ. And so tonight, what about you? A whole lot more I'd like to say if we'd had time. And maybe I plan on using another lesson on this before we get through, because there's some more things I wanted to say. So I'll probably just incorporate the rest of the lesson in that. But this was designed tonight, not only, I don't know that there's anybody here that don't know about baptism that much, but this hopefully will help you teach others. And that, I believe, and there's plenty of those extra sheets to put out there if you want to take some with you. But tonight, if you have been baptized for any of these wrong reasons we discussed tonight, some teach that you're saved before baptism, and if you were baptized believing that, wouldn't scriptural baptism. Some say they're baptized to get into some denominational body, not scriptural baptism. Some say that it's the outward sign of an inward grace or an inward working. I never read that in the Bible. So tonight, if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, would you do that tonight? Everything's in readiness, and we'd love to see you complete your obedience. Maybe you've done these things and not lived as you should. Need to come back home and make things right with God. If we can assist you in any way, we encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing.